Hi, everyone. Danielle and I are off this week. We are on spring break with our children, but we wanted to go back to the archives, you know, get back in there in the vault and play a classic ep for you. This is an ep with our beloved friend, Z-Way. She just did our live show, and this was the last time she was on the podcast. She's the absolute best. Her show, Z-Way, is on Showtime. It's just finished filming a second season. Enjoy. And if you're interested in listening to any of our old episodes, you can get our full back catalog anytime by subscribing to Stitcher Premium and using promo code Housewives. Enjoy, everybody. Have a great week. Bye. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Casey Queen. I don't know why I said that.
Hi, girl.
Hey, sweet sweets. Hey, baby girl.
Hi, baby. Hi, baby.
I just felt affection towards you. I don't know why. I felt sweetness towards you.
My family growing up used to call me Casey Rose.
You are a Casey Rose. Casey Rose.
Casey Rose. How are you?
I'm good. You know why? Because I saw you in person last night and we had an old-fashioned housewives screening. We had an old-fashioned housewives screening.
We got together. It was so much fun.
It really was.
Yes, to be in person, we had Deanna Chang, you and me. We ordered up some food. We got in our comfy cozies.
It was so, we have not done that in a year and a half. We even said the last time we had done this was the night that Tom Hanks had gone down with the COVID, that we found out the NBA and Tom Hanks. And then Chet Hanks made a statement. Like, I remember this all like it was yesterday.
We'll never all forget where we were when Chet Hanks made that statement. No, it was so, that was the last time we were with Nicole Shabtai, Matt McConkey, and the three of us trying to bank podcasts because we were like, something's a brewing with this COVID. Didn't stop us all from sitting at my table recording,
but
Nicole wouldn't hug Deanna. Oh, yeah. And we were like, something's happening here because you know me, I'd last to know. Yeah, Deanna was hurt. Next thing you know, Tom Hanks has COVID and we continue to record our Gwyneth Paltrow versus Jennifer Aniston bonus session.
We had to just get that in before, under the wire. But anyway, it was really
there
nice.
I'm so sorry, Danielle. There was a before Tom got it and after Tom got
yeah.
it. Understanding and wrapping one's mind around.
If Tom Hanks can get it, all of us get like it just, he's the everyman and he represents us, you know, in that
I
way.
I wish Chet would make all my statements.
Yeah, me too.
So go on, Danielle.
But yes, it just was so nice to be in person commenting on the housewives. It felt normal. It felt real. It felt just like a relief. Like, God, it just
sit and watch TV with someone else is one of the life's greatest pleasures. And we're so siloed off, even when the world is turning. Because, you know, for this podcast, as everyone, some people might not know, but up until the pandemic, and it's a little embarrassing on our part, as you know, our tech is not our strongest suit. But we were like, well, there's absolutely no way we can record this unless we are in the same room. So we would have like a guest we knew, guest we did not know, cozied up on my couch.
Yeah. And if someone couldn't be there or someone lived in a different state, we were like, well, then they just can't do the podcast. Like,
you're like, what if I watch it before? No, I'm sorry. You must watch it with us in real time, eating food. And then we will segue over to this farm table and record. And then again, right, if someone is in New York, it's like, well, they'll never be on.
No, we missed so many opportunities of people that we were fans of and still are that we were just like, well, we can't. Like, I remember we were like, well, we can't possibly have Michelle Collins on. She lives in New York. How could we get her out here?
How would we get her? Speaking of how would we get her, we got someone good for our live show.
We really do. Guys, this is someone we have been chasing her down. Chasing her down.
Chasing her, truly. Like, I had to send an email that was like, I'm so sorry, this is desperate. Now, I know this lovely gal.
Yes,
and we have done a pilot together, and I just did her podcast. But to nail her down is really something because she's a hot ticket.
And speaking of nailing
it, and I hope we don't wipe out when we have her. I don't know. For our live show on June 24th, our guest is going to be Miss Nicole Byer. Host of Nailed It and Wipeout and every other funny thing in her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? She's the best. She's funny as fuck.
truly the funniest human being. And I think I've been a huge fan of hers forever, just through UCB and everything and all her podcasts. And she's just fucking brilliant. But then through Nailed It, I became another fan through my daughter, who my daughter's obsessed with her. I might have to bring my daughter onto the podcast to meet her because...
You need to, because kids are obsessed with her. I've never seen anything like it.
No, my daughter has made... You know how on Netflix you can make your screensaver, like, you know, this is mom's, yeah. You know, hers is Nicole. She made it Nicole.
This like, is big.
She's obsessed with her.
Well, she also wrote this book that I'm looking at right now. That's why I'm... It's a coffee table book called #VeryFat#VeryBrave. And it's photos of Nicole looking gorgeous in bikinis all around Los Angeles. And meditations on like weight and body image. But it is so fucking funny. I just love her. So Nicole Byer, get your tickets June 24th, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern.
Yes, we're so excited for the show. We're going to have so many fun things.
And we have another special element too that will remain shrouded.
So, and send your boots on the ground to bootsonthegroundbs@gmail.com.
Okay, now, Danielle, someone else just sent me a boot that I don't know if you got your eyes on. Kim just sent it to me.
I don't think so.
For the live show. I'm going to reveal it here.
What is it? It can't be any worse than Craig Conover, like, suing somebody because...
Oh, yeah. We had on one live show that someone had sex with Craig.
And then messed up his computer, like, spilled something on his computer.
By accident, spilled something on his laptop. And this motherfucker took that girl to small claims court for her to pay for his laptop. So these are the types of boots you're going to be getting in these live shows. But this one, I'm going to just give you now as a little taste. Mm-hmm. It's juicy. No.
What is this?
There's just no other way to put it, just to put it out there, Danielle. A very nice gal who's asked to remain nameless. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm getting the details right. Her boyfriend is a prominent figure in the medical world in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
He is apparently friends with Naomi and Naomi's new boyfriend.
Okay.
And has spent some time out on the social scene with Mr. Craig Conover.
Okay.
Apparently, now I don't know if we can trust Craig, but this does sound right to me. Craig has been telling everyone as though people know this fact that Shep Rose has been sleeping with, that is, means sexual relations with this woman, Patricia Allschultz.
What? No.
Again, I need no confirmation. I haven't checked it. I haven't fact checked it. I bring you the naked facts and I let you fill in the blanks. And while I hope no one would ever do that with my life, I present it to you. I lay myself before you bare.
I present it to you with no basis of truth, but just we present mm-hmm. this as it was given to us.
Hey, I got an email, Danielle.
That is true.
I got an email.
Once it's over the internet, it's like once you send it through federal mail, it becomes like a legal document or something like that. If you have a boot on the ground, could you send it snail mail to us with a stamp so that it becomes like a federal document?
And we'll go ahead and patent them. Do I have any more info? No. I just have that they are sleeping together. I don't think this is the relationship material again.
You don't?
Oh, okay, no. Just was trying to fill in some blanks for you, Danielle, but I see you jumped on that rudely.
I mean, I don't know what to do with this information. Look.
I don't know what to do. Can anyone else poke around? Can we try to get... It's not that I want confirmation to make it okay that I said this. It's just for our own...
Satisfaction.
Yes, satisfaction.
Now, look. COVID did make some strange bedfellows, as we've all heard, right?
And but she's in a different upper category, so I hope this wasn't pre-vax.
Well, what I'm wondering is, hear me out. She is a beautiful elder gal.
Of course.
Has a wonderful life that I'm sure Shep wants to be a part of.
A wonderful line of caftans going.
Yes, I mean.
And that actually, those caftans, I'm sure, came in handy for her during the pandemic.
Oh, yes.
Just throw them on.
Throw them on every day. But here's my question. You know, she was in that older category that got the vax first, you know, older 60. Mm. And so could it have been? And he's like, I'm looking okay. to get my dick wet and or, you know, mostly wet. It's as
Danielle.
You get older.
Danielle.
Saying it's as we get older, we dry up. And okay, so And he was like, I don't want to get COVID. Like, I'm afraid of it. I can't get the vax yet. Do I, you know, I'm looking for love. I'm looking for a sexual right there, relation.
I'm going to stop you right there. Ain't no way anyone in Charleston, South Carolina cared about COVID. Number two, I saw Cameron, Cam on every post being like, this is madness, y'all. Please put your masks on. And those for those who did care, wonderful. But I don't put Shep in the category of, I feel like Shep was getting his dick wet, COVID or no.
Yeah.
You know, I think if any WAPs in Charleston had COVID, I don't think Shep cared.
Yeah, wasn't.
Maybe he thought those juices weren't transferable into COVID particles. I don't know. I can picture him saying, I'll never kiss a woman for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, he doesn't do that anyway. He has those Julia Roberts Pretty Women rules. No kissing.
That's right. That's right. So please, someone, you know, look into that if you
this
can.
This is a shock, Casey. But you know what? I'm here for it. I like the idea of it. Like, I hope it's true.
I love it, and I hope it's very true. Now, Danielle, could you share with us, if you would,
what?
An experience you told me
you
had? You know, everyone's saying, and this, I'm a little overhearing this, like, I'm vaxxed and waxed. I'm like, okay, we heard that joke. However, Danielle, you did try to get the ladder done, and you were given some bracing feedback.
Now, look, I know we're all tired of hearing about my bush, and as am I. And so Casey brought it up. So I will tell us, because this was something I just texted Casey the other day, because I have been vaxxed, but I have not been waxed. And I needed some time. I'm going home to Florida.
Siri read this text to me. I almost ran off the road. You're going to Florida. Right. You're going to Florida to see your father.
Uh-huh. Yes, and my mother.
To get ready.
So I want to get ready to see them. So I got to get waxed.
Yep.
But I am. I just needed to like. And so you lovely gave me the name of a waxer you had used. And she was great. But I hadn't done anything. I hadn't, you know, been upkeeping. Through this
Were you
time.
Shaving at least like the bikini line?
Yes. Like if I had gone out to a pool or something, I would shave the bikini line. Okay. But I hadn't as much as a recent.
Thank you. Okay.
And so, I go to the waxer and I pull down my pants and she simply looks at my nethers.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And says, ooh, she's long.
Oh my God.
I almost died.
Ooh,
I was
she's long. And she actually had to make it as she like to disassociate it from you. Mm-hmm. Cause I think she was like, what I'm seeing, I can't even like attribute or kind of lump in with this lovely woman, your upper half.
And then
she's long.
She's long.
I know a lot of people don't want to hear about this. So please just like fast forward 10 seconds.
Fast forward if you don't want to hear, because this is, I get it. You're sick of it. So am I. This is the life I lead. She also was so shocked because there's a girth to my pubic hair.
What?
Like there's just a toughness.
What? What do you mean? What do you mean?
It's a solid stock of hair. You know?
like a broom? Like those?
Not necessarily a broom. It's softer than that, but I just mean it's hardy. It's hardy. Like it's
okay, do you know if you take a little conditioner and just throw it down there, you can soften it up?
No, it's not that it's not soft. It's that it's thick. Like it's not something you can cut.
Like, you know when you want to cut flowers
yes,
and you're just like
yes,
regular yes, scissors aren't
yes,
doing it? I need
yes.
to get like a proper tool.
Yes.
So that's why, okay, am I to understand that's why you left this to the professionals?
Yes. And so she asked me, she was just so like, she's like, what's your background? Because it's just so thick. Was basically she wanted to know. Like,
she wanted to get into your heritage.
Yeah.
And your genealogy.
Yeah. Like who?
Your ancestry.
Who makes this? What is?
She's
what
like, who passed this down?
What trait?
I guess
this?
It could be a point of pride. Like I maybe your grandmother and her grandmother and her grandmother.
Heavy
and her
bushed.
Grandmother. Heavy bushed women. I do feel like even they would have tried to trim something up before they went to another woman and pulled their pants down and asked her to wax. Like,
there's certain things. It's like when you're asking a person to do this, they don't wear that hat. You know, there's a sign of respect. It's like this woman's waxing. So she's putting wax on and she's ripping. I don't know that she's getting down there with tools and scissors. You couldn't have just trimmed that up for her, Brie.
You know, that's what you said to me when I had texted you this. You said to me, Danielle, you were offended. You said.
Yeah. Well, I know that and like this woman.
Yeah. And oh, she's great. No, I have nothing bad to say about her. She was fantastic.
No one is saying anything bad about her, Danielle.
No. I just wanted to put that out her. But, you know, it was a shock. But she did the job and she did a great job.
So she did trim it?
She didn't need to trim. I think she just had to put like a lot of hardening wax on it. Like, you know how like.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know what I mean? It's like a harder wax for the for the tougher tufts. It's basically what
right.
I would
say. She had to really bring out the big guns.
Yeah, the big the surf wax, basically.
Okay. So it's like one time my brother had to like, I don't know if it was an ingrown something. I won't even get into it, but he went somewhere and they had to break out a large machine called a Dremel. And really just saw it down. You know, it's like these are the times they have to reach in their arsenal. And maybe it challenges them. You know, maybe it stretches her.
Yeah, I just
she likes it.
She did great. I'm proud of her.
And the results?
Yeah, speak for themselves. Well, I guess we'll hear my parents' reaction when they see it.
Your dad will tell us. We'll bring your dad on.
Oh, yeah. My mom and my dad will give you their honest gut reaction.
They're first right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm going to get off the plane and drop my pants and just see what they have to say. I'll say it's been a year and a half since you've seen me or my bush. How are we
doing? What do you think? Wow. Okay. That's so upsetting. Danielle.
Yeah.
I think we should take a quick break. Let everybody just sort of process and
sit with it.
Wash that off them. Mm-hmm. And then get to our guest.
Oh, yes,
because
please.
What a guest we have. We've been dying to have this icon hint back. Let's take a break. Woo! We have a guest. Now, we've had this gal on 2 or 3 times, I think. But since then, and I'm not saying this has anything to do with us or, you know, I can't take credit for that.
Probably does. Probably has everything to do with us.
Although, you know, white women have been taking credit for Black women's ideas and work for some time. And I think if anyone can understand that, it is her. Yeah. Please welcome. Oh, I'm so excited. Our friend Ziwe, before she comes out, she has a new show on Showtime. Wow. Simply called Ziwe.
Simply titled Ziwe.
A variety series.
It is the... I so rarely laugh out loud.
Never
by
do.
By myself in a room.
If anything, I sit and watch things angrily and I'm like, why didn't my shit get out there? Like, that sucks. You know, I put others down.
It's truly the funniest fucking show. Like, laughing out loud. It's genius. She's a superstar.
It's got such its own,
superstar.
A gorgeous, fucking hilarious tone. It is described, just so everyone can wrap their heads around it, but you don't know what this is until you watch it because it's so distinct and incredibly funny and creative. It is a new variety series from writer, comedian, and internet sensation Ziwe, a no-holds-barred mix of musical numbers. Ziwe is the sole musical guest. Interviews and sketches that challenge America's discomfort with race, politics, and cultural issues. Please welcome the absolutely gorgeous and fresh-faced and star Ziwe.
Hi, guys. Hello.
Ziwe, how are you? I mean, to make the funniest show I've ever seen during a goddamn global pandemic? What?
Thank you.
Wow. How did you do it? Will you tell us about the process of the show and give people who haven't heard it just a little glimpse into it? Because it's so fucking fantastic. I got to tell you, Mayor of Easttown and your show are my two favorite shows of the year, and I think possibly of my life.
Okay, wow. You know, how did I do this? Everything was made in 6 months. So we shot the show actually in 15 days, which is wild.
What?
Yeah, wild, right? It was a whirlwind. It was a whirlwind. It's so hard to describe the experience. It's a satirical comedy show where I interview guests about race and pop culture and gender. And hijinks ensue. It's really silly. I play this sort of narcissistic character that's obsessed with herself to the point where she's a musical guest.
Oh, I didn't know you were playing a character.
Yeah, I was playing a character. I am not a narcissist.
There's a moment. Speaking of narcissists, there's a moment in the when you're doing the money episode, when you're talking to Bowen and Patty and they say something like, they throw something back in your face and you're like, we're going to cut that. Like, we're going to cut away from that. Like, it is. And then, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it was just, every moment is so funny and there's something for everyone. Even the credits, I'm laughing during the fucking credits. Mm-hmm.
Me too. The games you're playing with people, first of all, you do a game with two different sets of white friends. Where what was it called? I want to say Woke Wars or no?
Yeah, Woke Wars.
Okay, Woke Wars, where you have them, you ask them all different questions of like, who is this, you know, famous black person watching these people try to pull their thoughts together and discuss. And then you're like, okay, and you've done this a couple times. I want you, you know, call a black friend, see if they pick up, that says something about you. And B, if they can confirm that they are an ally. And just watching people scrolling through their phones, sometimes they just have a first name. Sometimes they're like, that girl I went to school with.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely wild.
There's this one of the girls calls a black friend. And in real life, we cut this out, but he was driving as he was FaceTiming. And we're like, sir, I'm worried about your life. You've got to pull over to confirm whether your white friend is an ally. But yeah, all of it is real. So that's something that people are shocked by. But these are real people doing ridiculous things, we'll say.
And real people that what I also appreciated about it, which was very funny and sad, is that they're also like seemed very liberal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it which I love, you're skewering like everyone in a way. And I just think it personally, maybe it's because I love comedy and I'm in comedy, but to get I almost hate this word just because I think it turns people off sometimes to be like, there's a show with a message, but it is a fucking comedy. But there is such a strong point of view. And there is like, I am actually learning, but I don't even know that because I'm laughing. If that makes sense.
No, that's the goal. Whenever it gets too thoughtful, I say, cut that out. I say, cut the learning dead ass.
Because no one wants to learn.
I hate learning. I hate reading.
No.
So it's supposed to be super funny, but like occasionally we'll drop in some knowledge, you know. But I what I love actually is that we're like back to back with your show and then my friend Dan Perlman's show and then my show. So it's like comedy on Showtime, like out of 10.
Comedy out of 10. Okay, can you speak about your guest before we get into Housewives things? You interviewed the gorgeous, and I was just on Watch What Happens Live with her, Ebony K. Williams.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Isn't she cool?
She's really funny.
I know.
And so I interviewed her before the season was released. So it was a shot in the dark. She could have been a floppiana. I had no idea. But she turned out to be like a pleasure. And we talked about her working on Fox News and her like disassociating about losing beauty pageants. But yeah. Yeah, she was really, really wild and silly.
She's
so fun. You know, it's interesting because she told the anecdote on your show about how she had come in second place to a white woman on a beauty show. But she also told me that. And I was like, this is sitting.
Yeah, she's not over that. And
no.
Therapy is a human right. So I hope that she can find peace.
I also really quick before I just want to talk about it's the best interview I've ever seen ever on any interview show ever was with you and Fran Lebowitz.
Oh my God, really?
God. My God, what an interview.
I really prefer your interview to her than her.
Yes, pretend it's a city. Yes.
Martin Scorsese, which I know people like that show.
And because she's such an intimidating presence, I felt like in a way, but you had her a little on her toes in a way that I haven't seen her. But she didn't, you know, again, it was like a meeting of the minds. Like it didn't feel, it felt like two stalwarts finally coming together. It like Frost Nixon, you know what I mean? It was
Frost Nixon. Yeah. You know what's wild is that Fran had no idea who I was. My talent producer had to go to her apartment lobby and bring her computer because Fran doesn't have the internet, bring her computer and show her my video clips. And that's when Fran was like, I'm not doing games. Don't even freaking try it. And so she came on set. She said, hey, I'm only taping for 30 minutes. I have dinner with Martin Scorsese. I'm out.
How much time can they spend together?
They're best friends. Hey, God bless. I love Taxi Driver. Fantastic film. But what happened was she ended up having such a good time that we shot for 2 hours and had to cut
what?
It back. Yeah, yeah. She was really enjoying the conversation. Yeah.
You could tell. Like she was into you.
She's wild. I love Fran because she's honest. She'll be like, I don't know who you are, nor do I care to know who you are. Yeah, I thought she's funny.
She just liked your vibe. And then one other iconic interview where I started to well up was you, and I had an emotional, visceral reaction to it, was you and Gloria Steinem.
Really?
I don't know why it was emotional for me. I felt that she saw the future in you. You know what I mean? And
future is the way.
Yeah. And it felt like she saw you in a way. And she's such a feminist icon. And to me, anyway. And so it felt like she saw, not like sort of a passing of the baton to you. I know. I just, and again, maybe this is my own stuff, but I got very emotional seeing this interview. Is that crazy? Am I crazy?
No, that's, firstly, it's not wild at all. She was such a pleasure. I'm very honored that my first televised interviews were with Fran Lebowitz and Gloria Steinem. Like, that's amazing. Just wild. But Gloria was really...
And Ebony K. Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, Andrew Yang.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Gloria was fantastic. I like Gloria because she was able to look towards, like, the history of feminism that she had in, like, this early 60s and say, hey, we've come a long way. We have to be more inclusive. And a lot of people aren't willing to grow and open their minds, but I thought that that was really impactful and important to have on our first episode.
Amazing. Especially a woman of that generation. And obviously she's still thinking, but it still was really, really cool. I also love when you had your writers, what you do to your writers is so upsetting. You had a writer come out with a wheel and you spun the wheel and whatever, like, and you tried to get him to do whatever accent you pulled up, like Chinese accent. And it would have been so offensive. And to watch him squirm and try to sidestep doing these accents was really something.
Yeah. Julio Torres he's this like really funny comedian, but he did not do a single accent, and I respect him for it. I respect that he did not engage in my show at all.
See, I would have been like, okay, here I go, you know, and been escorted off by security.
You have Cola Scola on, and they are the funniest. I'm just that song that they do that you and they do, which is just.
They wrote that song.
No, it was and you sound like and look gorgeous. Like,
yeah, you really do. And you got your angles in this show and you got your outfits.
Well, you know, what's funny is I've been listening to Bitch Ass for years. And what I love is that you guys are also your own musical guests and sort of thrust your musical abilities onto your audience, so whether they want to or not. And so I think that is inspiration for my show, honestly.
Well, I've never been more flattered, but it does seem you have a few more chops. I do, but
yeah, you do seem to. You're not shouting. You're
a little more
lyrics.
To offer. And when you say the word thrusting it on people, it doesn't sound great. But will you just tell the bit that you did with the writers where you were celebrating the different months?
Oh, like, yeah. So I almost cut that because it was racist. But so there's this. Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month was in May, and so we wanted to celebrate it because I'm Black, and for every Black History Month, January 15th. I get a flurry of emails being like, hey, Z-Way, are you available to do something for free in 15 days? And it's like, oh, how convenient. What could be the occasion? And so we wanted to like highlight that via my writer, Jordan Mendoza, who's Filipino. And so we have all the writers come and celebrate his Asian heritage and clap and make him, you know, do different heritage things. And it's just absolutely offensive. Then we quickly pivot to Pride Month, which is in June. And we have Cola Scola dance and sing and celebrate Pride Month. It's wild.
Putting them on the spot to celebrate their 1 month, and then the way you make it clear, it's like, it's just this month.
Just this month.
Like, then we gotta move on. We gotta move on to another marginalized group. It's so smart. And they go down so quick. I like blew through them. It's a great show. And I'm and we have talked about a lot of shows on here, and I know Danielle and I get obsessed with things, but this one really is at the top of the list.
And I have to tell you, I've been telling anyone that will listen, like, I go into my writer's room every day and I just say, if you...
While Danielle's getting that bush waxed, she's
telling the waxer. I'm just...
Z-Way, can you say what you said when you came on early and you heard us talking about Danielle's bush?
Well, I said that you are like a marginalized class of people in that you also have you have a hairy bush, and that's not as common in this day and age, but that doesn't it should be respected. So,
and where's her month?
Where's my month?
I'm feeling like a weekend in July, like a hot weekend in Miami when the bush needs to be trimmed back for you to stand loud.
Or maybe a winter month when the bush really gets to fly free. Ooh. And nobody's shaming. Maybe a January.
That's nice. Should we take a quick break and get into Housewives?
Sure. Yes, oh, please. I have a lot of opinions today, by the way.
Oh, good.
I love it. We're back. Z-Way, where do you want to start? You know, you're a host now. So you take us. Do we want to start with Beverly Hills or New York? What do you got? What do you feel?
Let's start with Beverly Hills because Sutton is losing her gosh dang mind.
Guys, I hate Sutton. I used to love her.
Sutton. Let the mouse go was an iconic quote. But what she's doing to Crystal is unforgivable.
I've always hated her. And I said on Watch What Live, I hate her. And then people were like, we can't believe you came out and said it. And I'm like, well, what's to come out and say? She's awful. You liked her when she was like, that's not nice. You liked that.
Well, because we needed some other drama that wasn't like us abusing Denise Richards. So I appreciated that aspect that she brought to the show. But she is so strange. Her shade roller is weird. That she's like peeking into Crystal's bedroom being like, why are you naked? Is weird. Everything about her living in Kyle's house, that's weird. It's weird. Yep.
So and then when Crystal was like, you're crazy, did you see she actually for the first time like stopped crying and backed down and then suddenly was like, Crystal, let me carry your bags, like let me hug you, like I've got a lot going on. It was almost like all these other little, like what Crystal said to her is not meaner, she deserved it, but it's way worse than what has been called of her. And I think she was like, oh, I've been told I'm crazy before. Let me just like try to turn this train around. It's like, because she's psychotic. When she came into her room and wouldn't leave and was like, I'm hugging now. You're going to get flowers. I got to go. I'll carry your bags. And I was like, she's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it was hard to watch.
My least favorite thing that people do, especially white women, is that's not nice. That sort of like shaming someone over behavior, it sort of takes all the air out of the room. It makes any other argument go away, like as if we as women especially like are supposed to be nice. And so, it's such a stupid argument, but it stops actual conversation or problem solving. And it's something that I think that she has learned to do to shut people down. And I think it's offensive.
I think she is very stupid.
You do? You do?
I do.
Really?
Yes, from like an intellectual standpoint. I do, because also to hear the amount of times she's trying to gain sympathy being like, I had to leave my dream mansion.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
It's so weird. Her on the boat with Crystal was really wild to me. I think that Bravo is pioneering a new genre, which is white women crying to people of color, and that I'm really like intrigued with, because this has never been seen before. And so, you know, Sutton is like crying on this yacht and Crystal's just like, okay, like wants the conversation to end. I was triggered back to my prep school days. Like I find this all really, really hard. I found it all really hard.
I bet.
Because did you experience this a ton in prep school?
Yeah, I experienced this a ton in my life. That's the basis of my show, which is just like me being very uncomfortable with people putting their feelings on me, but me being so nice that I'm like, I'm sorry that you feel bad, that racism makes you feel bad, you know, like just apologizing. I mean, Sutton never gave a full-throated apology to Crystal.
That's what I mean. I think she's stupid, and not in a way of like she's making a stupid decision. Like, she doesn't get it, and she refuses to even attempt to get it.
I think she did get it, and she tried to pivot her way out of it. I think she tried to pivot to the house.
And I'm not making an excuse by saying she's stupid.
Oh,
I just think she's so entrenched in this like sad worldview of her as a victim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think she's stupid about to feel like a victim in any way. She's like, I mean, I'm a Southern white woman. We have things that's like, you don't have shit. You shut the fuck up.
I know.
Literally, to make Southern white women a minority after what the history books have shown in this country is so, honestly, I almost had to tip my hat to it. I'm like, wow. So maybe she's not so stupid.
It's absurd that she took a conversation in which Kyle Richards is talking about Garcelle accusing her of like racist accusations and turned it into to be about her, one, and to be about how people think that she's racist because she has an accent. Like that is a logical leap that did not need to happen. She set herself up for disaster.
It's like when someone's talking about selfish behavior and I'm like, I'm not selfish. And then it's like, oh, okay, no one was saying that?
Yeah. It's like, wait, why is this coming up? Yeah. Weird.
with the roller, just crying with the, like, that's going to be my new move when I cry, is to just roll my face. It really disarms the situation, makes it 10,000 times weirder.
Well, Crystal is just going, I'm not sarcastic. Okay. Okay. And she's rolling. And then when she started rolling her hand, and then at one point when she just goes, roller, started rolling. Why weren't people like saying, I think you need to go home?
I don't think Brian Moylan talks about this in his like recaps, but I don't think she's, if she is looking for kindness, she should not be on The Real Housewives. She should be on the Great British Bake Off. Like there are different reality shows which no one will ever confront her about her opinions.
Yeah, like Million Dollar Listing and flip that house.
This is not the place for you.
No, it's not. Wow. I wonder, okay, what do you make of like the other gals right now? So Teddy's gone. We've of course been introduced to Kathy Hilton, who I also...
Oh, I love... Kathy Hilton is one of the sort of most eccentric people I've ever come across in my life. Her talking the dental work, I have so many questions. Was she breaking the children's teeth? I am perplexed. I just find her so... But also, one thing. So Kathy Hilton in the sort of like chaos chart makes Kim Richards make more sense. Because I always looked at Kim Richards and I was like, turtles, like she's weird. But now I see, no, they're just like sort of a little, you know, kooky. They're kookier.
Yes. They're like part of a piece now. I feel like we get the whole puzzle. Like, of course, do I want to see Big Kathy and see where the apples have fallen? But we don't have that available to us. But now I see all three of them like, okay. And I love the cat. It makes sense.
It's like Pokemon, like Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard. It's like there's Charizard. And then Kyle is the Charmander. She's like the most docile. It makes sense.
Kathy did make me laugh when Sutton did that whole apology and was like, can we just have a nice night? And Kathy's like, for now. And then we'll go back to the fight.
Yes.
I was like, Kathy's just calling it. Like, she's got a lot in full sweatpants. She didn't bring a pant or a dress the whole trip. What do you think of Lisa Rinna, Z-Way?
Oh, the devil. Okay, that story where she compares Denise Richards to a rapist.
That was...
And thank God for Garcelle to say, never say that again.
Oh!
I actually think Garcelle came down very easy on her in a way because she was so shocked.
Lisa Rinna, I don't know Lisa Rinna as a human being. All I can speak is to her character on the show, but her character is the devil. And I think she should be absolutely removed from the show as a character. But I'm sure she's really nice as an actress. But I hate her.
I have to stop you, Z-Way. I'm sorry. So you're calling these women characters. Now, when we made the joke about you being a character on your show, you're obviously playing a character. But so you believe these women to be characters? On there, I like that. You're like, you're giving them almost a generosity of spirit of like that, though they have a little space from what we see. With Lisa, she is also an actress. So with her, and sometimes I think that's kind of the issue, is like she is an actress as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen a real, I don't believe, I think June Diane said this, we've never seen a real moment from Lisa Rinna on television. That's the honest to God truth. She's always projecting and performing what she thinks we want. And then when we get mad, she just posts a screenshot saying, ask Bravo if we can be kind, and she'll delete it. She's weird. She's cruel. I'm glad that Garcelle is advocating for my girl, Denise Richards, justice for Denise. I thought that was really shitty last season, and it left a bad taste in my mouth. But Lisa Rinna, she's not, I just don't like anything about her. I'm sorry.
The way that she was trying to draw the camera's attention with her stupid water ballet routine, look. The only thing we also have to put our eyes on is a game of Jenga right now. Like, there's not a lot of choices, but I would rather watch Jenga than her and Sutton put their skinny little legs up in the air and show me a goddamn routine. I was so disgusted.
I agree. And I do love, like, Garcelle, like, most women wouldn't have the strength that Garcelle has in that when they're now with these ladies, like, the woman that has been made fun of is gone. They don't even have that woman to be a life raft. Garcelle is still, like... No, because I would be like, okay, I accept your apology. Now I have to like try to make you all like me now. Now it's like just me for myself. Not Garcelle's like, no, no, no. Like what you did actually was egregious, your behavior.
Well, Garcelle is a real person. Like I think it was two episodes ago or an episode ago where Lisa and Garcelle are talking on the bed. And Lisa's like, you know, I can't promise that I won't turn on you in the future. And Garcelle says, why can't you not? Because that's a weird thing for a friend to say to another friend. Her behavior is not in line with reality. So I love Garcelle. Garcelle and Crystal are made of Teflon. They deserve hazard pay for the interactions that they have to deal with these wild women. Yeah.
It is.
They do deserve hazard pay. And they can't even get their hair and makeup paid for.
I have to say, Crystal and Garcelle, they give us great looks, but they don't have to try as hard as Erica and Dorit. Dorit and Erica are coming in with bananas looks, right? But Crystal and
Dorit
Garcelle
is wearing a purse to dinner in a Tahoe ski lodge.
And Erica Jane has like fake sweatpants under her, like just a whole look put together.
I had reached my limit when she came down looking like a like stylish lumberjack. But maybe it was good. I don't know. What do you think, Z-Way? You're very fashionable.
I like the way Dorit dresses. I used to love the way that Erica dressed, but not as much this season. I liked her outfit on the pilot or the season premiere where she's wearing orange and the denim jumpsuit dress. But I like Dorit more. Although I wonder with Dorit, how does she afford it? Because the most successful, wealthy people I know do not dress like that. So how does she afford that? Head to toe Louis Vuitton every single day. What does she do for
I don't like I'm genuinely I've been looking on Tag Watch because like, you know, I've done a photo shoot here or there where you're tucking a tag. And I literally am like, is she wearing that jacket to tuck the tags or is she doing a thing where like, I know I do not do this or whatever to know, but it is done quite a bit where you can like remove a tag and then you have a machine that someone puts it back on for like photo shoots and stuff. I'm like, is that what she's up to? Because where is the money coming from?
It doesn't.
Does she have family money?
No, she does not. She does not.
Because you have Kathy Hilton, who probably has shit loads of money, who's always in like a sweatpant and like a comfy tee with a saying.
I like Dorit's new kind of like Daryl Hannah and Splash kind of inspired hair in the testimonials. And
she looks amazing.
She does. I mean, her lips, I could take dialed down a hair.
But I'm just saying Crystal is just in like a cashmere throw. They're just, they give us looks, but they're not trying as hard. And I appreciate that. But I do like the trying hard.
Question about Erica Jane's looks. Because what you're saying, Z-Way, what you just said is that she looked good in the pilot and the looks are deteriorating. Now we go back at the timeline. Are we seeing Mikey's absence? Are we seeing a move out? Are we seeing the chaos? Are we seeing a decline in funds or you just think no?
No, I believe that we are going to watch. I mean, we saw in the trailer that Erica, who used to be perceived and never have a hair out of place, suddenly had sort of her extensions, her tracks showing. So
literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. So, and that's no disrespect to Erica, but to Erica, the character. And so ultimately.
I'm sorry. I'm going to start saying this now because some of these housewives come at me and I'm going to be like, I was talking about your character.
The character, not you.
Your character.
I mean, how do you pay for a glam squad when you have, the legal fees, they're mounting. I read the LA Times every day and there's a new article about conservators.
Okay, stop bragging.
Not to flex, but I love to read a periodical.
You and Kathy Hilton at 3 a.m. reading, drinking your Red Bull, reading the newspaper.
Oh my God. And she's like, Dookie, look at this story. Iconic. Kathy Hilton is one of the greatest additions to the Housewife franchise. She should be full-time and we should bring back Kim Richards. Hot take.
Three of them.
Agreed 100%. I want Kathy to get as much money. I bet Kathy's just like didn't even look at her contract. I mean, Kathy didn't know what channel the show is airing on.
I read something today in my newspaper of choice, the Daily Mail, my morning periodical.
Conservative hellhole that hell we love.
Disgusting. But guess what? It's an easy read. And
because it's bullet points at the top.
Yes. And the article itself is.
This is what's wrong with America. We're like, it's easy to read.
Oh, and even if you deign to read the long article, it's only five paragraphs, but if you just want to read the bullet points, they make it as easy as possible. It's always misspelled. They don't even check for typos. I just appreciate that.
They're like, get it in.
Just get it in. Does not matter. But anyway, they said this morning, hot news, that Tom has deteriorated so much with dementia that he doesn't even understand what's happening around him. Do you guys think that's true?
You know what? There's a conflicting piece in page 6 that I read this morning, another periodical.
The other great paper.
In which Tom Girardi is asking to end his conservatorship because he doesn't like it anymore. So,
see, I think that's more true. I think the Daily Mail might be siding with the like establishment and Tom Girardi of it all. And like, I think Tom is just fine.
You think he's as quick as he ever was?
I mean, I don't know that he's an elder, but I'm like, just seconds ago, he was quite fine living in Pasadena and, you know, managing everything. Now, do we think Erica knew when she was standing on that deck with Garcelle and Garcelle said, what is Tom doing? What's going on?
I am going to give Erica the benefit of the doubt and say she didn't know. But here's the very big caveat. Whether she knew or she didn't know, if a dollar was spent of widows and orphans money that she needs to pay it back. So whether she knew or she didn't, any part of her estate, any part of her diamond collection that belongs to those people should belong to those people.
She needs to take off those long gloves.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so yeah. Where are we going to see Erica? Because she's going to have to pay this back, or, you know, like, because all that money came from Tom. You know, it's like, and even if it was her Real Housewives money, like, it still has to go to pay because a lot of the money that...
I would bet that Erica's money is all... She always kept it separate from Tom. I just have a feeling she wasn't like, let me throw it in our family kitty. Like, okay.
The hard part about, like, she's being investigated for hiding assets that she has 5 to 6 seasons of a television show in which everything she's ever had was flaunted so gaudy on this reality show. So, I mean, sometimes people get... That's why you don't brag about spending $30,000 a month on glam.
Right. And I think Teresa Giudice had a similar fate, which is just like, oh, we saw you go to a furniture store episode 1 of your TV show paying like $20,000
in cash. It's like,
we saw that. It's hard to not see that. And I'm sure all the DAs are watching Housewives.
Well, you know that there's hidden DAs now in glam squads and stuff.
Oh, in Jen Shaw's, yeah. Oh, my God.
It's in the Shaw squad. There's like hidden.
I knew her makeup didn't look good that night. The woman's like, so am I giving her lashes or what? She like puts a little camera in her lashes. Okay. Should we take a break and come back with New York? Do you have any other thoughts, Z-Wei, about Beverly Hills in general?
I don't think I have any other thoughts about Beverly Hills, no. But I'm sure when I re-listen to this podcast, I'll be like, damn it, why didn't I speak about blah, blah, blah. But, oh, opening the season with Kyle's new nose, that was awesome. That's like straight out of like Clueless. Iconic, iconic, iconic. I'm liking Kyle this season.
Her in every scene
too.
With her nose guard on.
When she was like, excuse me, guys, I need to sneeze. My stitches are ticking.
Oh, did we talk about the fact that Dorit lied about having a nose job?
No!
Thank you.
She sticks her hand right up and says, I didn't have it done. Oh, and then Kevin.
But did her character have one?
Her character absolutely got everything. Got a head transplant in the words of Lisa Vanderpump. No offense, but that's a character, not her.
That's her character. I think her character has had 27 nose jobs. But for her, when no one else was really answering, which to me, almost the silence was like, we've all kind of had something, but we're kind of doing silence. Kathy, of course. I've had a little something. Kathy.
She goes in that weird voice. I got a little something done.
Kathy's just, I love it. She doesn't even know to lie, as we know from 2 Truths and a Lie, which she just tells 3 truths. But for Dorit to put her hand up so quick and forcefully, I think she thought everybody was going to be like fighting, you know, their way like to be heard. And then to lie.
Lie. I mean, is Dorit a scammer? We will find out.
I liked the package of Dorit as a competitive, because I like that side of her. She's like, oh, I'm going to win this weird game.
I would be friends with Dorit in real life. She seems like a good time.
She does. I agree. She does.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with New York and Z-Wei.
We're back.
Oh, New York. Z-Wei, what do you got? What are you feeling?
Wow. Okay, so the racial politics of Real Housewives of New York are harrowing. Hard to watch.
Harrowing.
Luann de Lesseps, Heather calling her articulate in passing. Luann de Lesseps saying, angry, angry. She was so angry. And then saying, just kidding, I meant upset. All of that was... And then Sonia Morgan being sort of the John F. Kennedy, the Bernie Sanders that we didn't know we needed on that cast. Wow.
And then we certainly didn't know we'd be getting from Sonia.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Who a minute earlier was screaming about Wells Fargo incoherently, to have the voice of reason of the crazy white women was a shock.
And look, Ramon, I'm sure Sonia will stumble in that area. But
she already has when she brought Ebony over to her fish and made her look at her multicolored fish.
She was like, this is my Black Lives Matter fish. This is my, that was wild.
That, That was wild. Okay, just to go back to Heather's comment, because obviously it was insane, but what made it even crazier was the placement of it. So we've now seen Heather as this, like, you know, self-sanctimonious, the woke white woman. I'm picturing Heather, like, frantically on a call with her DEI coach for Yummy Tummy, like, preparing her for the season. It just felt so, to me, she just doesn't have any genuine moments. Mm. And she may very well believe all of this, you know, and that's, I guess, wonderful. But the way she'd taken everybody on and she's in charge of this. And then to go and wrap it all up and was like, I was there for you. Like, I've got you. And then be like, has anyone ever told you how articulate you are? As her parting line was so revealing.
Cringe. My comedy is cringe, but that was very cringe. Also, when she was like,
yeah, you wouldn't even put that on.
I would not.
You wouldn't touch it.
When she was like, I know Black people. I grew up with Black people. I work for Beyonce. I work for Jay-Z and Puffy. It's like, stop. So you, like, who are you trying to deceive? It's so embarrassing. And Ebony had to be like, yeah, love Beyonce, but she doesn't really reflect the, you know, the normal Black American experience as like this gorgeous billionaire pop star that's like a demigod. Hard to watch. Hard to watch.
Very hard to watch. And I love Ebony, the way she took it. She was just kind of like, well, there it is. Like, she just, right there it is. Like, Heather's quote unquote, she felt saying all the right things. And that is the perfect example of a liberal fucking white woman who's like, I'm saying all the right things, but right at the end.
Yeah.
Well, our friend Akila said to us, which is true, she's like, she had just been through so much, Ebony, with Lou and everybody. And she's just like, I just want to relax. Like, she's ordering food. She's up. She's got her pajamas. She's in her safe zone. Like, she's like, I've done with these crazy bitches. Like, I just need a moment for myself. And then Heather fucking knocks on her door in her safe space and is like, you're our ticket. Like, she could not get away from it.
It was Sutton-esque. It was Sutton-esque.
It was very much like, okay, she was, so Heather would be an iconic guest. She's very much the girl who's like red, white fragility and like has the right, she's on the path towards the right idea.
She's like, listen to 2 chapters of the cast audiobook.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, I have the buzzwords. I know about microaggressions and I'm going to use that in a sentence now. And it's like, oh, honey, sometimes it's best to not say anything. So when you say nothing, you never get in trouble, you know? And she got in trouble. Yeah. It was hard.
Now, do you think, because we're going to see, we saw in a preview next week, Heather's like, I need to apologize to you, to Ebony, or something like that, right? Do you think Leah just ran right and told her about, are we going to get back into the comment about being articulate, or are we going to let that go? I mean, maybe that's not a good question.
I don't know. I think, you know what's wild? Let's talk about the fact that the first 4 episodes of Roni have been about people apologizing to Ebony. That's just like the theme of the show. It's like, apologies to Ebony K. Williams. I'm exhausted for her, but here's my thing. I actually think that Ebony K. Williams could be our new Bethany, in the sense that she very much is our straight man who's like giving us a purview about, and she's giving us a purview into why things are ridiculous or why they make sense. It's all to say. Ebony's wild in her own right. Like, her being like, I love JP Morgan because of the way that they celebrate diversity. It was like, wait, is this a commercial? But it's camp. It's Housewives, you know?
Well, I love how she was like, that she was running from creditors. Like, that stuff, like, that's Housewives shit. Like, you know what I mean? Running from a creditor, you know you're a housewife when you're just like, yeah, and they were, I was hiding out. Like, that to me is like, true, beautiful housewife stuff. So,
do you guys like Leah, by the way? What do we think of Leah? Let's be honest.
Leah has really strained
Leah's jumped the shark.
Yeah.
It's been tough. And when she was...
Your grandma's dying.
Yeah, like, go home. No one needs you to be here. Go see grandma. Like, it's obviously affecting you. And also, I'm sorry. I do have a really big problem, and I'm not trying to sound like Heather, but in this election year, you cannot choose not to fucking vote. Fuck you. And Ebony even said it to her, like, this...
And expect that not to be triggering to people.
Yeah. She wanted to trigger them.
Yeah, no. Coming from Leah, there are people who, if I'm disillusioned by the process, I'd be like, okay, I respect you. Leah is not one of those people who gets that pass, unfortunately.
No,
and her calling Heather a Karen. It's like, girl, you're that's not how we do this.
No, and I think Leah made a calculated, like, a mistake where she was trying to actually be like, I'm like most Americans, like I'm a little here and a little there, or something. There was something weird going on where I think she wanted to, like, she has a lot of criticisms of, like, liberals that I've seen in her Twitter, which is like, yeah, the left has a problem too, obviously. But, like, I think she misplayed that. I think she thought it was going to make her seem like cool or something. But actually, it was like, no, I actually had in that moment, more respect for, like, a Ramona who's like, yeah, I'm sure she's like, I love Donald Trump. Like, I don't know. It just made me feel ill.
Well, Ramona was like, November 3rd, I think I'm somewhere else. I think she was like at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh. I was like, what? Yeah.
She's like, I'm out of town that day.
Like, she was not, you know.
And remember, Trump never even showed up to Mar-a-Lago. And there's like Mario and Ramona just sweaty and dancing.
And like spreading. And there was like a COVID outbreak there too. Iconic. Yeah, man. So Leah, I love Leah. Her first season, I thought she was so cool. I've met Leah, and she has been nothing but kind to me. So I'm speaking about her character again.
Okay.
But I think it's second season, like, senioritis, where you sort of overshoot why everyone loved you and you perform that. When it's like, we just want you to be like, be cool, man. Like, be chill. You don't have to be anyone you're not. But maybe it's because her grandmother is passing slowly. So maybe we'll give her a break. Maybe she comes out of her shell.
And I have the same fear for Heather Gay in Salt Lake City. I think we're going to see that same thing as Leah this next season.
Yeah, by the end of Salt Lake, by the reunion of Salt Lake, I actually did not like Heather Gay.
Well, she felt herself. She read her reviews and then she felt herself. And that's what Leah is doing. And it's almost like you cannot read your reviews. You just have to be you. Otherwise, we're going to feel it.
Here's who will be them, and that's Kathy.
Oh, like, Kathy.
I don't think next year we're going to see Kathy coming out swinging.
Kathy doesn't even know what show she's on.
Did you guys hear her? Her and Kyle were doing an Instagram live, and she was like, and Kyle, people are loving the show, but Kyle, now what channel is it on? Because everyone's always asking me, what channel is it on?
Kathy, it's on Bravo.
But Kathy's like, but is that 42? Is it 64? Like, it's not like there's two channels anymore, Kathy.
Is it New York 1? I feel like we didn't give enough to the moment when Garcelle, which was a bit shocking to me, when Garcelle just simply said to Kathy, like, I don't like your daughter.
Oh, that was weird.
I was a bit like Garcelle, like, even that felt like them's fighting words. Mm. And Kathy behind her big glasses, like, this is also why Kathy's so amazing, because, like, anyone else on that show would have taken their glasses off and thrown Garcelle into that weird Bayou Bay that woman owned, that nobody cared about that history. And Kathy was like, mm-hmm, you want to tell her, Kyle?
Wait, can we go back to New York for a second? Because another iconic moment, because I feel like we should talk only iconic moments because we have an icon here. But when Lou is talking with her daughter and Lou Whitten's niece, and they're talking about Ebony, and you don't come into my house and tell me I don't have an education. And then they pan over to the nude model and he's just nodding like, yes, you tell them.
Like, why was he at the head of the table breaking bread with these women?
Why is he in this conversation? We've just seen his wiener and his long balls. Like, what are we doing here?
And why didn't Heather go home with Ebony if she cared so much?
Because she didn't care that much. Right. Ultimately, Ebony went home by herself. So that's a testament to the fact that no one really cares that much.
And nobody went up to check on Crystal that we saw. Everyone was like, oh, Crystal's not coming down. Anyway, and then I love that Kyle didn't get, it was so strange to me that Kyle didn't get what Crystal was saying when she was like, oh, it just felt a bit of an invasion of my space when I'm like cowering naked and this woman's like, what are you doing in here? And Kyle's like, that's what you're upset about.
She's like, why did you say that last night? Why'd you wait 24 hours? It's like, because when someone processes something, they don't process it immediately. They process it over some time. Like, all of a sudden you're like, why do I feel so uncomfortable? Why do I feel so uncomfortable? Oh, that's why. Because my space was invaded and really by a woman who was already making me feel really uncomfortable.
Not to mention, like, Sutton was like, said something along the lines of like, oh, that would only be weird if you were in a prison, a woman's prison or something like that. It's like, why are you comparing? Crystal has cried twice on our show. She cried once when she was talking about the hate crime that her family experienced. And she's crying when she was like sort of violated and like mocked by Sutton. It's like, take her very seriously. This is not a woman that opens up. So I
she said, I don't cry a lot.
She said, I don't cry. So it's like, give this woman respect. Give her respect and respect her space. She seems like a very, I love Crystal. I think she's strong. She doesn't take shit. So anybody who crosses Crystal, crosses me. And that's that on that.
I totally agree. And the pivot that Sutton did on the boat was so wild when Sutton just suddenly started getting into her renovation and her house and how that's affecting her. And I agree with Crystal. Sutton was able to make that little apology because all the white women were like, okay, good, you've done it. You know, you've said you're sorry. Now we can move on. But it's like, but Crystal wasn't there.
And that's the other thing that Kyle was saying. It was like, she was just like, she kept making excuses for Sutton as opposed to letting Crystal feel like, just be a sounding board for, she's coming to you and she's all you had to do was listen to her and empathize with her, as opposed to like, she was on her best behavior tonight. No, she did good tonight. It's like, no, that's not why we care. I know you're trying to make everything right for yourself, Kyle, but how about you listen to your friend or someone who's new and needs you right now, who's coming to you?
I feel like both on New York and Beverly Hills, there is a silent pact that we have not heard about, where the women are like, we are not going to let race become a thing. We're not going to let anybody take us down. It's just not going to happen. Like, if that comes up, you got to have my back. Because it's almost weird the way people are jumping in, defending people that, like, they're not as good for, something's just weird.
There's a weird,
and maybe
it's
not.
Solid, it's, you know, this is, okay, we're really getting deep. Okay, Foucault is shaking. But there's this weird sort of racial solidarity, right? Because it was like, as soon as Ebony K. Williams says, hey, Ramona, your white fragility is jumping out, that is the moment in which Luann suddenly gets really defensive and says, you're being angry and how educated could you possibly be? I was a nurse and you're a lawyer. You know, so suddenly there's like this fence that you cannot breach, and it's, I never realized it until this conversation, actually, but the parallels between Beverly Hills and New York, it's really kind of wild to watch the woman of color
and Dallas go on and Dallas.
The woman of, and I've been DMing Tiffany, who's lovely, but like the women of color are on an island on their own and they're sort of left to fend for themselves, and even when they do have the Sonia or the Heather, it's not as strong of a defense as you would get, say, if you didn't invite someone to a party.
Yes. And actually, maybe I'm naive to say, and that was stupid on my part to say, like, oh, they made this pact. I think it's just an like unconscious pact.
And, between white women.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like,
but it's like Sutton, Kyle broaches race with Garcelle and suddenly Sutton is so touched off.
Right?
About like, this is, now you've come for me. It's like, no, we're talking about Garcelle and Kyle. Now, why does Garcelle stick up for Sutton so much? I just don't get that friendship.
I don't really understand. I don't really understand it either. I love Garcelle, so I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt that maybe Sutton is different one-on-one, but I don't understand it. Or maybe, you know, maybe Garcelle needs someone to accompany her, because if it was her by herself, she'd be left to the wolves of Lisa Rinna, who are looking for a reason. Oh, did you see Kenya Moore's tweet that happened last?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that was horrible. Basically, what happened is that, on the first episode of the season, Garcelle was like, would you ask me about if I would pay my bills if I was not Black? And so Kenya Moore tweeted something along the lines of like, this has nothing to do with race. Like, Garcelle is blowing it out of proportion, which I thought to be I thought that was really whack, honestly. But again, it's like, who is Garcelle if she was left on the island alone? Would she have the same exact experience as Denise? Would she be attacked? I mean, we know that the people are going to come for her later this season, which is odd because Erica's the one being accused of fraud. But yeah, so who's to say? I don't know if it's an alignment for protection or not. I don't know.
Or like they came in together as the two
that's
women
what I was wondering
alone when, and like they're the newbies kind of.
That's what I was wondering, if Garcelle had such a tough season last year and felt sort of rejected by Kyle, and maybe Sutton gave her sort of a life raft, a little bit of someone, so she has affection for her in her heart, unearned affection, but just like Garcelle was reaching for somebody, because I can only imagine how alone she felt on that show last season.
It's really kind of interesting. Like, a complaint I've heard from Housewives fans is like twofold, right? On the one hand, it's like, oh, with these people of color here, not everything is centered around race. And that sort of kind of dilutes what we liked about Housewives, which was about stupid fun. But conversely, it's like, well, these, how real could they be if every circle doesn't have anybody of color?
But it wasn't just about stupid fun. We've had marriages break up. We've had
drug, we've
money
had
laundering,
problems.
Drug abuse.
We've had a literal murder, or not a murder, or I guess alleged murder, but a suicide. Like, it's been real intense.
We've had sisters who are fighting over like their inheritance and like their home. Like, to me, it's like it is
deep
a
issues.
Yes, like we've actually had these things. I think Bravo, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, but to just bring, like you're saying, kind of one Black woman in, it is an interesting choice because I think it can't help but make someone feel, I don't know, it's an interesting choice. I don't know if it is a choice or if it's like, okay, we're adding diversity slowly but surely. I don't know. Or if they're wanting this to be a topic. I don't know.
I'm really interested in the integration of Real Housewives as a phenomenon. I think Martin had a dream and clearly this was it.
This was it? Is this how he pictured
it
going?
This has always been his dream.
To get the house.
Day one.
It would be interesting, though, if, you know, women and men of all, you know, races and creeds watch the show. Is this the way in? Is this,
this the
learning
the way
tool
in
for America? Hmm. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is Heather the way we...
You don't think?
It's very interesting because even in Salt Lake, we've had, you know, things coming up with... It's interesting. Yeah. So to me, it's like... I guess I have been hearing that too of people saying like it's only about race, but I actually don't think it is actually. But I think it's right in line with another topic that is looks, you know, a deep topic.
Yeah.
But I think we've seen those. And I think we're still going to get the women riding on the railroad track with their little whatever the hell they were doing in Tahoe. We're still going to see them fishing.
We're still going to get them screaming drunk at each other. Like, you know, look, we're here for the heavy stuff and the light stuff. And that's what makes Housewives so fucking watchable.
Yeah.
And is that I am laughing, screaming, crying. Like, this is my show.
This is a ride.
For worse.
It's a train track ride of a lifetime.
That's right. Z-Way, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun. Do I have any other opinions?
Yes,
anything else?
Or anything about like Potomac coming back?
Oh,
or...
I'm so excited for Potomac. Potomac is my one true love, honestly.
I love Potomac.
Who's your favorite?
My favorite? Oh, God. I mean, Karen Huger, because she is so ridiculous and she kind of seems like... Yeah, she's ridiculous. I love her character, which is absurd and sort of like a fraud. Yeah, Karen's my favorite.
I just looked in my closet and yes, I don't want to brag. I have a 2x2 area for gifts that I give people and 3 of the gifts are La Dumps.
Oh, gosh.
I can just grab for a hostess party. It's honestly a perfect gift. People respond very well to it.
Okay, I want a La Dumps in the mail. Stat.
Yes, what do you think of Candace?
Candace is wild to me. Did you see this? So Candace is wild. I don't love Candace.
She's insane.
Yeah, I don't love Candace because of the ways that her language, I don't think you should ever call someone a roach or a concubine. That's just how I was raised.
That's how you were raised. Good.
So I don't really appreciate that language that she used, which I find to be really, really cruel. No, I don't love her. I actually kind of miss, what's her name? Monique. I'm going to miss her because she was so pretty, but she wasn't well. So ultimately she shouldn't have been on the show either.
You know, but she was very nice to just feast your eyes on.
Her face was so symmetrical. Her hair was always beautiful. I like would take her like looks and I would show them to my stylist and be like, make me look like her.
Isn't she such a throwback? She was sort of a throwback to like a 1950s or 60s wife, like kind of like perfectly coiffed, like
with a parrot on her shoulder.
Like making breakfast for her husband but secretly simmering underneath and about to bust
and maybe having sex with her trainer. It was perfect. I think that is high praise for a housewife to take their photos to your stylist. Like I can't think of too many I'm bringing in, although Ebony K. Williams and I have the same top.
Oh really?
So just throwing that you wore on Watch What Happens Live. It was lime green, gorgeous. Sorry, she said I should do a Who Wore It Better, but I'm like, I can't put myself out there like that to be and or if I win, am I triggering her beauty pageant days?
No, you don't. You never want to do that.
And I know who wore it best, and it's her. Z-Way, your show is so incredible. Your season finale airs in two nights on Sundays. And your guest is Adam Pally, our old pal over here. He said many controversial things on our show. I'm sure he'll say them on yours.
And he did. He did. And we talked about his cornrows. He raps at one point. It's honestly iconic.
And you have a book coming out. Can you tell us about your book at all?
Yes, The Book of Z-Way is a book of essays about race and pop culture. I'm going to talk about the housewives and the phenomenon of like Beverly Hills in New York. That's definitely an essay, but it's a bunch of essays, including me almost getting murdered in the middle of the woods a la Get Out. But you'll be a lot of fun, you know?
I love it. And can we pre-order it now?
Yeah, pre-order it now. It's coming to you February 2022. So yeah.
So exciting.
I like a pre-order because then it just arrives and yes. You forgot and you have a little present for yourself. Okay, everybody, pre-order Z-Way's book. But most importantly, please get at her Showtime show. It is truly brilliant and I don't use that word lightly.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Z-Way.
Bye, guys. Thanks so much.
Wow.
She's amazing. I'm so happy we had her back.
Amazing. That was so much fun. Hot takes all around about our characters, about those characters, not about them.
Our characters, that's such a way we can do this and not feel bad about it. And I like that.
And I can't believe we've been doing this for 6 years and not realizing that we were never talking badly about the women. We were always just talking about their characters.
Yeah, she really laid it straight for us. That's a really good note.
Yeah. Guys, get tickets now. You can go to our Instagrams and find tickets for our show June 24th with Nicole Byer. Other surprises.
Lovely. And then I'd also like to plug a little podcast now. My husband does a podcast called Improv for Humans. It's very funny, always very funny. But this week he had my daughter on it, Sydney, who they do a debate.
Two bessers for the price of one.
And she debates another person. Matt sometimes does debates on his show. And she has a whole debate on why she thinks JoJo Siwa is better than the Beatles. And they have this other friend of ours who's a Beatles fan on, and they do a debate. So it's pretty, she does a really good job. I'm very proud of her. And I'm not a stage mom.
If anyone can go to the mat for JoJo Siwa, it is your daughter. She should have debated Northwest.
Right?
Another JoJo. Well, they should have like tag teamed on that. I love this. I mean, Sydney Besser will have her own podcast in, it's a matter of
days. Days, Casey. Anyway.
All right. Tell us the name of it again, just so people can find it.
It's Improv for Humans, and it's the most recent episode. I think it's called like JoJo Siwa versus the Beatles.
creative
check
title.
Check it out. Yeah, creative. And I'm not trying to be a stage mom, but it's a really funny episode.
Why not? You have a star on your hands. It's much like with Kathy Hilton. And I don't mean to say what I said on Watch What Happens Live, like you're the Teddy and we've had to sit with Teddy this whole time. But really, we've had Kathy in the wings. We've had Kathy in the wings, which a lot of people had DM'd me that sentiment. So I tried to get it out there on Watch What Happens Live to the best of my ability. But I mean, is Sydney Kathy to your Kyle? It's like someone we've loved and known, but
yes,
then living in
the
house.
Yes, but I'm no Kathy and I'm no Sydney.
Yeah, and you guys have fought just like Kathy and Kyle.
We have our bad times, but we make up for them with the good times.
You fought over inheritance and a house.
And a house in Palm Springs. We've had the same battles.
Yeah. All right, everybody check that out. Thank you to Renee, to Caitlin, to Kim, to everyone at Earwolf, to July.
Guys, I love you all.
Thanks, Danielle. That was so fun. Thank you to Z-Way. So much fun.
It was so fun. And I loved seeing you in person, Casey. It was so fun.
Me too. That was really fun.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.